It is Wednesday, July 17th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the hot suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. For people who can handle the truth, RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. On my programs, we frequently discuss historical events. I attempt to cover many of the topics that others do not discuss, perhaps because they are unaware of certain issues or they are misinformed about history via the government schools. Because of that, they inadvertently circulate the official version of the past. I believe in exposing the background of a multitude of current problems by having guests who accurately, report on major historical events such as profit-producing warfare versus the devised stories that the court historians, in conjunction with the corporate media, disseminate in order to dumb down and thereby effectively manipulate the population. The court historians, often influential, they may be published professors and other capable individuals, skillfully conceal the facts by their faulty, often deliberately deceptive portrayal of history. I also invite individuals who address relevant contemporary issues that concern the well-being and political status of the majority of the population. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. Another site that is very interesting is SpingolaSpeaks.info, which was created by one of our listeners. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after I open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Today, I don't have a guest today. I am going to share with you a chapter from my upcoming book. And the chapter is entitled The Holocaust, Central to the New World Order. This is a very interesting chapter. It definitely opposes everything that you've learned in school and all the stuff, well, most of the things that the court historians disseminate, as I mentioned before. Alrighty. Some economists recognized the world's vulnerability and published their warnings, viewing both capitalism and communism as troublesome, each founded by the very same group of people and equally designed to benefit a tiny minority. In the United States, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, and in Britain, Prime Minister Winston Churchill promised numerous freedoms from fear, poverty, and other such circumstances, mostly just political rhetoric. However, given the histories, allegiances, and performances of these two men, they were completely unreliable. Additionally, these two men were dedicated to the Jewish Bolshevist government of Russia, which has had nothing whatsoever to do with freedom of any kind. In 1933, the League of Nations had charged James G. McDonald with the task of persuading European governments to issue visas to Jews coming from Germany. He failed miserably because no country wanted additional Jews. Poland absolutely refused to accept any Jews, and in fact, the Poles had spewed forth a multitude of their Jews into Europe. All right, we're going to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and I don't have a guest today. I'm sharing a chapter from my upcoming book, and the chapter is entitled Holocaust Central to the New World Order. All right, I'm resuming my reading. If the Jews were such desirable citizens, why did every country reject them? Poland, along with several other European countries, was just as eager as Germany to get rid of their Jews. At the Zionist invitation, Donald Day attended the 18th World Zionist Congress in Prague from August 21st to September 4th, 1933. Dr. Stephen S. Wise of New York harshly attacked Dr. Chaim Weizmann for his policy of parity between the Jews and the Arabs in Palestine and the policies of the Zionist Labor Right Party. Dr. Wise asked the Congress to only elect leaders who supported a Jewish state in Palestine and a Jewish majority on both sides of the Jordan River. He said that the Jews should not postpone their settlement of Palestine. He commended Emanuel Neumann and the late Dr. Chaim Arlo Soroff for their efforts in negotiating with the officials for opening of the Transjordan area to the Jews. Now, just an aside note, the reason that America and England rejected any Jewish immigration is because that would force them to Palestine, and it would also engender sympathy for them that nobody wanted them. With regard to England and America, it was for that strategy to get them to Palestine. Okay, back to the chapter. Mir Grossman, head of the Jewish State Party, asked the Congress why it had not presented an explanation of Germany's agreement for the export of Jewish capital from Germany to Palestine in the form of German goods. Grossman strongly condemned the agreement. He's talking about the transfer agreement, as did people around the globe because of the potential negative effect such an agreement would have on the worldwide anti-Nazi boycott. Burl Locker explained that Zionist officials had not negotiated or authorized the agreement with Germany. Donald Day, who sat on the speaker's platform, listened to the speeches for a week and discovered that there were 8 different Zionist parties, including the Revisionist Party, whose members wore brown shirts and would treat the Arabs in Palestine in the same way that the Nazis were allegedly treating the Jews in Germany. Toward the end of the conference, a group of Jews approached Day to inquire whether he was going to write a positive article about the Congress for the Chicago Tribune. He was a journalist for the Tribune. He responded that the speeches indicated that people generally disliked the Jews and that this animosity was growing. He said that this suggests that something is, and I quote, radically wrong somewhere, unquote. Day said, and I quote, if some really great Jewish leader would arise and ask the Jews to examine themselves to see if they could not find the reason for this dislike, then it would be an important story, which I could report, unquote. The Jews told Day that he was wasting his time and that no Jew would ever put himself in that position, which Day found very regretful in that the Jews were unable to face squarely the problem of their unpopularity. Then the time was coming when the Jews would be in worse position in Europe than the Negroes were in the United States, unquote. Robert E. Edmondson recognized what he thought was the Jewish manipulation of America's economy, their control of America in banking, the press, and the media, and soon began the Edmondson Economic Service. Edmondson believed that Franklin D. Roosevelt was Jewish and published the flyer, Roosevelt's Jewish Ancestry. He criticized Roosevelt during the 1936 election campaign and maintained that Bernard Baruch, Felix Frankfurter, and Louis Brandeis controlled the president. On June 11, 1936, a grand jury in New York indicted Edmondson for, and I quote, libeling all persons of the Jewish religion, unquote. In preparing his defense, Edmondson subpoenaed Bernard Baruch, Henry Morgenthau, Rabbi Stephen S. Wise, Samuel Untermeyer, Fiorello LaGuardia, James P. Warburg, Walter Lippmann, and Samuel Rosenman. In response, the American Jewish Congress told the court to drop the charges against Edmondson. In January 1938, so I guess you see who runs the courts, okay? Back to the chapter. In January 1938, Day wrote a letter to John Czech, the sports editor for the Polish Daily News of Chicago, in which he defined the Jewish objectives of the worldwide campaign to start a new world war and simultaneously gain sympathy and popularity for their nation. Day mailed a copy of the letter to another friend who gave it to Edmondson, who printed it in the American Vigilante. Because of its length, I will just quote some of its contents as follows, and I quote, the Jew's ethical code is Oriental, and he demands that he be permitted to live according to this Oriental code of ethics in a Christian civilization, unquote. Day wrote that, and I quote, Jews get more prosperous and acquire Christian mistresses, and so anti-Semitism increases. The Jews are a nation of lawyers and very clever ones. In the welter of new laws and regulations governing businesses or business in all countries, they have an advantage over their competitors, the Christian merchant. This advantage is fundamental, for the Christian is brought up to respect the law, while the chatter teaches the Jew how to evade Christian laws. For many centuries, the chief power of the Jew has been his ability to control and dispose of large sums of money. He is able to get loans and financial aid and credits where Christians are sadly handicapped. The enormous power wielded by the international Jewish bankers stands behind and supports the little Jew, and until now has played a very great role in preserving them from persecution. I think persecution is the wrong word to use. In many cases, it is retaliation from outraged Christians, unquote. Donald Day said that And I quote, "The next reason for the unpopularity of the Jews, and I consider this one extremely important, is that the Jew is a parasite who has no objection to living on human weaknesses and failing whenever and wherever he can. All American consuls have a small secret book," and he notes that he has seen them, "containing the names and photos and records of known white slavers and dope traffickers. More than 98% of them are Jews, chiefly Polish, Lithuanian, and Italian Jews. No business is too depraved or dirty for them to engage in. As a police reporter in Chicago and New York, I covered the red light districts and found that vice was a Jewish industry. It is the same in Paris and Vienna today. And formerly, the Jews ran the rotten vice rackets in Berlin and other German cities just as they do in Poland." Unquote. Day continued, and I quote, "Oriental lack of respect for the truth, the racial inclination to pornography, the fixed belief they constitute a class above the law, and their attempts to shield and protect other Jews engaged in criminal pursuits have today resulted in a popular outburst of anti-Semitism, of which the anti-Semitism of Nazi Germany is only a small phase. Today, much of Europe considers the Jew as an outlaw, and he has done much to deserve this classification. Until some really great Jew thus indicts his people and shows them the way to avoid anti-Semitism, then the situation will become worse. I think the only way the Jews can successfully combat anti-Semitism is they must publicly adopt Christian ethics and obey the laws of the Christian communities in which they reside. To hear the Jew blame Hitler and the Nazi government for the persecution of Jews in Germany is ridiculous. Besides, it is not persecution. It is the retaliation of an outraged Christian nation." Unquote. Donald Day continued. When he said, and I quote, "Anti-Semitism is a contagious ailment, and its sufferers generally contract this incurable malady by contact with the Jews themselves," unquote. He referred to them as international criminals and reiterated that they are to blame for the way that people view them. Consequently, they have no right to demand justice when they, in fact, do not respect the law, but only attempt to exploit it. Unfortunately, when we consider the Jewish issue, we fail to think rationally and we let our emotions sway us. If people discriminate against the Jews, there must be a reason. Jewish history reveals that they have become most unpopular in places where they have multiplied and attained prestigious positions of power. Over 100 countries have expelled the Jews, and now they ponder and bemoan their situation and that the world is too small to maintain them all in comfort. All right, we're coming up on a break here. On November 18th, 1938, the London Times published an article about the settlement of Jewish refugees with the headline, "Searching the Atlas," which inadvertently revealed the worldwide unpopularity of the Jews. Jewish leaders approached the politicians of several countries in an unsuccessful attempt to arrange immigration for their people. England was interested in Jewish capital, but not in Jewish immigrants anxious to leave Europe. No matter where Jews lived during the decades of Bolshevik terror, they supported them. While the Bolsheviks were torturing, starving, and slaughtering the Russians, the world's Jews and their political puppets like Woodrow Wilson, Herbert Hoover, and Franklin D. Roosevelt were applauding and financing them. That is because the Bolshevik regime was, and always had been, a Jewish racket. One might also apply the term to the New Deal and most of the administrations since then, all under the subterfuge of democracy and freedom. Alrighty, we are coming up on a break. We will return in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsor. Remember, this is a chapter from my upcoming book entitled Holocaust Central to the New World Order. Be right back.
can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. I do not have a guest today. I do want to mention, I forgot at the beginning of the program, Brenda, a very, very dear friend and listener, compiled a list about Putin. And she emailed it to me, and I posted it because her links, the compilation that she created is just fabulous. So go to yesterday's date on the schedule page at Spingola.com and check that list that Brenda compiled. It is just fabulous. Thank you so much, Brenda. All right, back to the chapter. The chapter that I am reading from is called Holocaust Central to the New World Order. Sure, Stalin had his show trials and executed a few token Jews, similar to the U.S. Justice Department's indictment against the Rosenbergs in 1951, presided over by Irving Kaufman. Tens of thousands of Jews assimilated in Russia or immigrated to the Israeli state or America to avoid the justifiable retaliation should the Soviet regime fail. The Jews had already begun working on a method as early as World War I to change the world's perceptions about them, the subject of today's chapter. By October 6, 1940, according to the New York Times, Arthur Greenwood, deputy leader of the British Labour Party and member of the British War Cabinet, assured the Jews living in the United States that following the Allied victory, people would direct all of their efforts to found a new world order based on the ideals of justice and peace. This new world order, conscience, would demand that the wrongs suffered by the Jewish people in so many countries should be righted. Additionally, he vowed that following the war, officials would give Jews the opportunity to make a, and I quote, distinctive and constructive contribution, unquote, in the rebuilding of the world, perhaps like Barbara Lerner Specter is doing in Sweden. Rabbi Maurice L. Pereswag, chairman of the British section of the Congress, delivered Greenwood's message to Dr. Wise of the World Jewish Congress. Wise likened Greenberg's statement to the Balfour Declaration of 1917, but said that it had wider and farther-reaching implications, unquote, because it applied to the condition of Jews living throughout the world. He said that Greenwood's message functioned as England's absolute intention to help, and I quote, right the wrongs which Jews have suffered and continue to suffer today because of Hitler's disorder and lawlessness. Greenwood said that the fate of the Jews in Nazi tyranny filled the men in Parliament with deep emotion, and that people associated with the League of Nations during the last 7 years reflected on the horrors perpetuated by the Nazis who had descended, and I quote, into barbarism. Now, this was, he said this on October 6, 1940. Excuse me, that's pretty early in the war. Just a few months, actually. Greenwood said, and I quote, the British government sought again to secure some amelioration of the lot of persecuted Jewry, both in Germany itself and in the countries which were infected by the Nazi doctrine of racial hatred. Continuing the quote, when we have achieved victory, as we assuredly shall, the nations will have the opportunity of establishing a new world order based on the ideals of justice and peace. In such a world, it is our confident hope that the conscience of civilized humanity would demand that the wrongs suffered by the Jewish people in so many countries should be righted. On October 6, 1940, same day, Greenwood said, in the rebuilding of civilized society after the war, there should and will be a real opportunity for Jews everywhere to make a distinctive and constructive contribution, and all men of goodwill must assuredly hope that in the new Europe, the Jewish people, in whatever country they may live, will have freedom and full equality before the law and with every other citizen. Rabbi Pereswag stated that he was certain that Greenwood speaks for England. He said, and I quote, freedom and emancipation for the Jewish people, unquote, is synonymous with freedom and emancipation for people everywhere. Sefton Delmer headed the Berlin Bureau of the London Daily Express. In early 1941, Britain's political warfare executive recruited Delmer, who began broadcasting in London over the BBC with a subtle mix of true events, fiction, and rumor in order to make the German soldiers question the war. The men in the Wehrmacht liked Delmer because he gave the latest war news, played German ballads like Lily Marlene, and shared gossip from the Third Reich. Delmer, a German-speaking operative in a black propaganda campaign, worked to weaken the morale by pretending to be disillusioned with the National Socialist regime. In 1945, after the war ended, a German expert on international law, Dr. Friedrich Grimm, asked Delmer, then pretending to be a university professor, about all of the propaganda pamphlets that the Allies had used, especially regarding, and I quote, the concentration camp horrors, unquote. Delmer mentioned the successful use of atrocity propaganda during World War I, and then showed Dr. Grimm a leaflet from the most recent war. Ups, we're going to a break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and I am sharing a chapter from my upcoming book, and the chapter is called Holocaust Central to the New World Order. And as I mentioned, Sefton Delmer, was into black propaganda, and in 1945, after the war ended, a German expert on international war, Dr. Friedrich Grimm, asked Delmer, who was then pretending to be a university professor, about all of the propaganda pamphlets that the Allies had used, especially regarding, and I quote, the concentration camp horrors, unquote. Delmer mentioned the successful use of atrocity propaganda during World War I, and then showed Dr. Grimm a leaflet from the most recent war displaying, and I quote, mountains of dead bodies out of the concentration camps, unquote. Delmer referred to the rhetoric in the last few months before the collapse about all the German atrocities in the press, all from some central office operating in each Allied occupied country. And there was an office in France, an office in Norway, an office in Belgium, an office in Denmark, Holland, Greece, Yugoslavia, and Czechoslovakia. And they all got the propaganda from the very same source, and Delmer was pretty much in charge of the source. The first reports from some country mentioned, and I quote, hundreds of corpses in the concentration camps. Then, 6 weeks later, a report from the same country reported thousands, then 10,000, then 100,000. Delmer admitted that he did not think that this number inflation could possibly skyrocket into a million. Then Delmer showed Dr. Grimm another leaflet and said, and I quote, "Here you have the million," unquote. Delmer then admitted that he was actually the head of that central office that disseminated the atrocity propaganda that gave the Allies their total victory. Dr. Friedrich Grimm told him that he must stop these deceptions, but Delmer responded, and I quote, "No! Now we shall start all the more. We will continue this atrocity propaganda. We shall intensify it until nobody shall accept a good word from the Germans anymore, until all the sympathy you had in other countries shall be destroyed, and until the Germans themselves shall be so confused that they do not know anymore what they are doing," unquote. Since 1945, the Jews, in an attitude of recrimination, refer to the world's silence, the world's indifference, and I quote, "the abandonment of the Jews," unquote. Look magazine published in serial format Arthur Morse's accusatory, "Wow, 6 million died," a chronicle of American apathy. Companies republished Morse's work in book form in 1968 and again in 1998. Just before America's second invasion of Iraq. On April 11, 1953, Dr. Max Nussbaum said, and I quote, "The position the Jewish people occupy today in the world is, despite the enormous losses, 10 times stronger than it was 20 years ago," unquote. In other words, stronger than back in 1933. In 1957, after after all these wars, the Yad Vashem, in its official publication, accepted the term Holocaust and its exclusive applicability and officially capitalized the word. This happened in 1957. In 1960, Otto Preminger directed the film Exodus on the novel by Leon Uris. In 1961, Stanley Kramer directed the film Judgment at Nuremberg. That same year, publishers in Chicago introduced Raoul Hilberg's seminal work, The Destruction of the European Jews. All of this in just a period from 1953 to 1961. I mean, just amazing, all this stuff. This was the same year that the Israeli state kidnapped Adolf Eichmann and began his trial in Jerusalem and indicted him on April 11th, 1961, when David Ben-Gurion, when David Ben-Gurion promoted the idea that the majority of the 6 million Holocaust victims would have been heirs and would have relocated to Israel. Nicholas Nicelli claimed that he spent 8 months in Auschwitz, where he worked under Dr. Joseph Mengele's supervision. In 1951, he wrote Auschwitz, A Doctor's Eyewitness Account, one of the first books, actually a novel, depicted as authentic history regarding the so-called Nazi death camps. In 1961, a publisher released another edition, this time with Eichmann's picture on the front cover just before his trial. Nicely claimed that the Germans exterminated between 6 and 12 million individuals, 6 million of them Jews. There's evidence that he never actually even saw the camp. Ben-Gurion insisted that the trial take place in Israel as a way of bolstering the legitimacy of the Israeli state. The Holocaust Survivors and Friends in Pursuit of Justice, which is an organization, the Beate Claresfeld Foundation, and the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith commissioned Jean-Claude Pressac, a French pharmacist, to evaluate and repudiate the Lecter report. Pressac wrote Auschwitz, Technique, and Operation of the Gas Chambers in 1989. The New York Times of December 18, 1989, promoted Pressac's work, but he heavily relied on Nicelli's account, which was a novel. A novel, people! It was a novel! Another wartime account is from Anne Frank. Following the war, her father, Otto Frank, recently released from Auschwitz, the only survivor of the family, returned to Amsterdam and discovered that Maya Gies had saved Anne's diary. In an effort to get it published, he gave it to a historian who then gave it to her husband, Jan Romein. That's R-O-M-E-I-N, an avid Marxist and a journalist. Romein wrote an article about the diary entitled Kinderstimme, meaning a child's voice, which the newspaper Het Parool published on April 3, 1946. He wrote, Romein wrote, that the diary, and I quote, stammered out in a child's voice embodies all the hideousness of fascism, more so than all the evidence at Nuremberg put together, unquote. This is a very important quote. The Nuremberg trials were then in progress, lasting from November 20th, 1945 to October 1st, 1946. His article attracted the attention of numerous publishers. And this is all, think of all the timing here. This is all very significant. His article attracted the attention of numerous publishers. A Dutch publisher printed the diary in 1947 and again in 1950. Publishers in Germany and France issued it in 1950, and someone in England published it in 1952, the same year as the first American edition. Certainly, a child's voice, as Romein mentioned, would have more emotional impact than a diary written by an adult. Even more so if Hollywood producers popularized it by making it into a poignant movie. George Stevens directed the 1959 film The Diary of Anne Frank, based on the Pulitzer Prize winning play of the same name. Now, we all know who gives out these prizes, you know, whether it's a Nobel Prize or whatever. It's to give credibility to things. Back to the reading. Francis Goodrich and Albert Hackett wrote the screenplay. It won, here we go, the awards. It won 3 Academy Awards. In the 1960s, various countries produced a total of 14 Holocaust-related films, including Sidney Lumet's The Pawnbroker, and this is just the 1960s, The Pawnbroker, and Alex Siegel's The Diary of Anne Frank. That was in 1967, a television film story that American film producers would recreate at least 3 times. Boris Siegel in 1980, John Ehrman in 1988, John Blair in 1995 as a documentary, and Robert Dornhelm in 2001. Numerous scholars, including Dr. Robert Farson, have indicated that the diary is a fraud. Dietlieb Felderer wrote Anne Frank's diary, a hoax. Brian Herring wrote the Anne Frank diary fraud. However, why bother with facts when the movie is more entertaining? Beginning in 1949 through 2013, predominantly Jewish producers and directors created 353 films, 180 feature, and 173 documentaries promoting the Holocaust worldwide. I challenge the readers, or in this case the listeners, to find even a small fraction of that many films about the Soviets' gulags, their Holodomor, or their mass murders. The evidence that the Jews financed and facilitated the Bolshevik Revolution is substantial and well documented. In 1935, Rabbi Stephen S. Wise said, and I quote, "Some call it Marxism. I call it Judaism," unquote. Rudolf J. Rummel wrote, and I quote, The Bolshevist revolution in Russia was the work of Jewish brains, of Jewish dissatisfaction, of Jewish planning, whose goal is to create a new order in the world. Shall also, through the same Jewish mental and physical forces, become a reality all over the world." Unquote. Consequently, historians, the media, the educational systems, and particularly the Jews have concealed the Soviet government's ruthless slaughter of 61,911,000 people, 54,769,000 of them citizens, civilians, non-combatants. The Six-Day War, with the American government's complicit silence of the Israeli assault on the USS Liberty on June 8, 1967, cemented the relationship of Jews living in America to Israel. They used the Six-Day War, as cleverly conceived, to connect Israel to the Holocaust by claiming Arab aggression and threats against the Israeli state. They wanted to implant the idea of a renewed Holocaust. To implement this fully, the Jews had to instill the Holocaust myth into the American consciousness as unquestioned official history. The Holocaust had to maintain a connection with Jews living in America. In 1967, before the Six-Day War, a Jewish organization distributed a leaflet at Yale urging Christians, and I quote, because of their special ties to the people of Israel, unquote, to speak out about the Jewish vulnerability in the Middle East. In 1968, Jack Kaufman directed the documentary film, that's in quotes, documentary film, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, based on William L. Shearer's book. William L. Shearer is a Jew. He was embedded as a journalist during World War II in Europe. Those special ties are certainly not reciprocal. Israel Shehak wrote that certain rabbis instruct Jews to burn, publicly if possible, any copy of the New Testament that comes into their hands. On March 23, 1980, they ceremonially burned hundreds of copies of the New Testament in Jerusalem under the auspices of Yad La'akim, an Orthodox Jewish organization founded in 1950 and subsidized by the Israeli Ministry of Religions. So it got government sanction here. Oscar Cohen of the Anti-Defamation League wrote that by the 1970s, Jews in America had become, and I quote, an agency of the Israeli government, unquote. They experienced Israelization, and one's fervent commitment to Israel became the characteristic of a good Jew, superseding all other factors previously considered essential. Public criticism of Israel became unforgivable. The Yom Kippur War of 1973 reinforced that connection. The media continued to exploit the fears of another Holocaust to justify Jewish aggression. Meanwhile, the perception of Jews as military heroes effectively diminished the stereotype of passive victims. The Israeli state's miraculous victory facilitated the merging of the Holocaust into Jewish religious dogma. Religious Jews had to resolve the horrific Holocaust with the idea that they were God's chosen people. Almost two decades later, when they were dramatically stronger and even more influential, President Ronald Reagan demanded the Berlin Wall dismantlement, formally concluded on October 3, 1990. A UN coalition of 28 nations engaged in the Gulf War, and this was from August 2, 1990 to February 28, 1991, codenamed Operation Desert Storm. And this was the Operation Desert Storm lasted from January 17th, 1991 to February 28th, 1991, just a short little period of time, 5 weeks against Iraq, a country the Jews did not control. In referring to Iraq, President George H.W. Bush said, and I quote, "What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in a common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law, such as a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future," unquote. So who was he working for? Well, I don't know. Guess who? On September 11th, 1990, George H.W. Bush said, and I quote, "We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders," unquote. Now, the UN was founded, it might as well be a Jewish club, just the same as the League of Nations. Okay, back to the reading. Further, Bush said, and I quote, "Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge, a new era, freer from the threat of terror, stronger in the pursuit of justice, and more secure in the quest for peace. A world in which nations recognize the shared responsibility for freedom and justice, where the strong respect the rights of the weak, unquote. Now, he's talking about the Jews here. He's considering them the weak, and doggone it, we better take care of them after all that has been done to them, those poor victims. That's not in the reading. I'm just elaborating here. On October 1st, 1990, George H.W. Bush said, and I quote, and this is interesting, because remember, he said, the revolution of 89 swept the world almost with a life of its own, carried by a new breeze of freedom, unquote. Now, 89 was just before he engaged in his little project, the Hammer Project, to take down the Soviet Union. And they started doing this, I mentioned it yesterday, in 1989, and it finally fell in 91. But then they went in and they took the multinational corporations went in. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet. Only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation. CampingSurvival.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and I am sharing a chapter from my upcoming book, and it is entitled Holocaust Central to the New World Order. Now, one of the things that I really believe in doing is doing a timeline. I think it's really important when you're doing any kind of work, historical work, that you create a timeline, which I'm going to be doing for this book, because I think it's essential to note that what is happening in a particular period of time, all the things that kind of converge together to give you a picture of what is going on. I compare this to kind of a road map. What if you just had all the lines but really no towns or anything, so that you couldn't actually see what is on that route? But if you do a timeline, and I did a timeline for my second book. I didn't do it for the first book, but I did go back and pick up some of it. But I do plan on putting this timeline on the internet soon. Alrighty, according to Vivian Bird, the New York Times of March 3rd, 1991, reported that the total number of deaths at Auschwitz was 73,137, out of which 38,031 were Jews, based on the German concentration camp records recorded during the war. This apparently included all deaths from all causes, heart attacks, old age, or other health-related reasons. I have been unsuccessful in locating this New York Times article. However, Dr. Germar Rudolph has provided a detailed account of the deaths based on the Glucks Complete Concentration Camp microfilm records. They house these records in the Russian Central Archives, Central State Archives, comprised of roll of number 187603, rolls 281 to 286. In 1948, the plaque in front of Auschwitz claimed that 4 million people had died there between 1940 and 1945. After the Soviets released the death registry records in 1989, officials at Auschwitz replaced the plaque with one that stated that 1.5 million had died. Apparently, they should replace it again. The Toronto Star of November 26, 1991, reported that Ian J. Cagedan, that's K-A-G-E-D-A-N, the director of government relations for B'nai B'rith Canada, said that the Holocaust must play an essential role in the moral reconstitution of Eastern Europe. That's a quote. Perhaps implying the continuing development of multiculturalism as opposed to a nationalistic mentality. He claimed that people ignore the lessons of the past and fail to devote sufficient time considering the lessons of the Holocaust. He said that the same kind of hatred that, and I quote, brought thousands to collaborate with the Nazis in the extermination process still matters, and that anti-Semitism is still a problem. In 1991, Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev referred to Babi Yar in Ukraine as an early, and he referred to it, early killing site, and then mentioned the murder of 6 million Jews. All righty, we're going to our top of the hour 60-second break. We'll be right back after station ID and a word from our sponsors.